Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott go into the vault and pull out a 2010 Bordeaux from Chateau Lafleur from Pomerol. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It is so good to be here, folks.
It is, isn't it? Unfortunately, Triple B is not on the show tonight. She said she had a party to plan for, and I don't know what that was, and I asked her, what party do you have? And she said, well, it's west of where I'm going. And that didn't make a lot of sense. And so I asked a couple more questions. And then she said, stop asking questions. And she said it with a light accent. I don't know what that was about.
Did she say das vidanya then?
I know. But it just seemed like, if I inquired more, I would get some sort of plutonium poisoning of some kind. I'm pretty sure. You know,
Chernobyl is in the Ukrainian territory.
Yes, I know.
Well, anyway. The territory formerly known as Ukraine.
Yes, she says she's sick. That's right. Yes, sick. Very sick. I don't know. But you saw it. Did you see her tonight, Scott?
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
I did not.
Maybe she's not here. She took off. She has a drop to pick up.
She's a drop.
Yeah.
A cold drop.
She did ask me.
It would be a cold drop.
She said, what are you going to say when I'm not on tonight? What are you going to say about it? And I said, well, I'm going to tell them that you're a spy and you're hiding out. You know what she said?
What'd she say?
Guess what she said. I bet you can't guess.
Up your butt.
No. She said, you're so stupid. That's what she said.
It is the go-to.
When they have you peeing down, you say,
you're so stupid.
That is like, you know, that's Lyshenko training right there.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Putin himself riding on horseback. You're so stupid. He said that to somebody. I wonder.
I think he says that all the time.
We're buying you, stupid son of a bitch. That's pretty funny. I like that.
What's the curse word our president said?
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
They said, are you in fact a stupid son of a bitch? And the guy goes, yeah, I guess I might be.
The Fox News. He called the Fox News guy son of a bitch. Just said out loud what everybody else thinks.
Hey, you thought it was hilarious. Nevertheless.
I'm sure. Who was Trump's nemesis at CNN? Acosta?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure. Surprised Trump didn't call him a son of a bitch.
Trump's nemesis. He has so many damn nemesis.
Well, Acosta was a pretty big one there.
A salad is his nemesis. So.
Well.
That's true. Yeah. His wife. You know, fidelity. There's another one.
Well, there's that.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Not being misogynistic.
Porn stars.
Not.
Yeah. Blackmail.
Undervaluing your properties and then overvaluing your properties in the same jurisdiction.
Stupid, worthless children. Things like that.
Well, not me. I'm Eric. I'm smart.
Oh, Jesus. So, on tonight's show, folks, since Triple B is not on, we have pulled out the Grand Cru glasses because we just do that. And I pulled out a Bordeaux. Now, I'm not pointing out a first growth, but I am pointing out a Bordeaux I bought in 2014. It's a 2010 vintage. It's Chateau Lafleur Gaison, and it's from Pomerol. We've done different things from different places. We've done Pouillac, we've done Medoc, we've done about every place except for Pomerol. Pomerol, for those that don't know, is right bank, and think in Bordeaux you have right bank, left bank. Left bank is predominantly Cabernet. It's called Medoc. Right bank is called Le Bourgogne, and that is predominantly Merlot. This blend in Pomerol is predominantly Merlot with Cab Franc. You know what else is in Pomerol? Petrus.
Uh-huh.
No? So I'm not saying this is Petrus, but I'm just saying, well, you know, it's basically the same thing. They have a red cap on both. This comes in around, and still comes in, if you can find it, around $50. That's what it cost about when I bought it. And it hasn't been one of these that have skyrocketed in the thousands of dollars.
Right.
You know. Although Bordeaux, well, I mean, Smith, if they have a lot of fanfare, they tend to really go off. Smith-Ault Lafitte had fanfare. You know, if you get in the top 100, in the top 10 of the Wine Spectator top 100, once
you're
or twice,
go
you're going to go up. This did not. Not that it didn't get good reviews, but it didn't get like that kind of publicity. So now you see how things get, you know, start costing more. But you know,
I think I had Pomerol. Excuse me.
We've had Pomerol.
I think I had it at Jeff Ruby's. I think that's the Bordeaux they had on the glass pour that we just loved.
Well, it's there are satellites around there too.
Okay.
So, nevertheless, we are going to do something that we've never done before on the show, as far as I can remember.
You're going to draw pictures of penises and mock me with them?
No. Tonight, I'm not going to do that.
That'd be the first time it's ever been done.
I'm only going to draw pictures of testicles.
Well,
if that makes you happy.
Thrilling.
Say what?
It'll make Wilford happy.
That's fantastic. I mean, how realistic do you get with the testicles? I'm just asking for a friend.
Yeah.
I don't have any friends. Don't point that out.
Well,
I was asking for myself.
I think Wine Guy's your friend.
No, not really.
Well, if he draws you pictures of testicles, won't that make him your friend?
He's not drawing them for me. He's drawing them for you. It's not personalized. I have particular likes and dislikes.
Oh.
I like one testicle to be slightly droopier than the other. A slightly distending, testicle. I don't want him to be even.
Shorn?
Oh, you mean shaved ball? You're very, very graphic. I can't. Why did you go
I'm
there?
Graphic?
That's inappropriate. I was having an honest conversation about what I enjoyed, the type of testicles and what I like them drawn.
I was asking for a physical description.
Then you had to get weird with the conversation. I don't know why you always do this.
Sure.
Nevertheless, we're going to take a break and be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, Pomerol, if you look on a map of Bordeaux, you will see it right next to Saint-Emilion. So it's directly, I believe, due west of there. I mean, but when we say due west, we're talking like right there. Fronzac and Kennel Fronzac are further west than that. Well, maybe northwest, however it sits. But the real focus on these wines, and any Bordeaux, really. Scott, what do you look for in these kind of things?
You know, there's some different blends, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the tannic structure of a French Bordeaux Merlot is epic. You know, they can be big tannic bastards like Chateau Mouvet. And then they can be these more subtle, succulent things. One of the things I love about Bordeaux Merlots, they do have some variety about them, depending on how they're blended. But you expect that wonderful oaking that only the French do consistently, in my opinion. When was the last time we had a badly oaked French wine, right?
They
just know what they're doing.
Well, and it's they're well integrated. It really is.
And a little more minerality than mm-hmm. what you'd expect from Merlot, say, stateside or anywhere else in the world, in my opinion. And that tend to be just an earthy component that you know is Bordeaux.
Mm-hmm. Now, on the review side, there is a review we'll read, and this is from the Wine Spectator.
Thank you very much. This is James Suckling. I used to work for the Wine Spectator, but they fired me.
I have nothing else to say about that because I am currently under a gag order.
Is that what they call it, James?
Shut up. What? No. Anyway, offers a fleshy, corpulent feel. Corpulent. With mouth-filling plum, melted licorice, fruitcake, and Linzer tort flavors. Linzer, L-I-Z-E.
L-A-N-Z-E-R.
Yes, Linzer torte flavors, layered and pumping through the broad, well-toasted finish. A not-shy style, showing a bit of punch on the finish alongside plenty of length and depth. Best from 2014 through 2024. 92 of their points. And also...
Yes, this is Wilford. Scott, don't interrupt me anymore about talking about testicles. Don't do it. Anyway, the wine enthusiast, they were not particularly enthusiastic about this wine. They wrote, smoky flavors give the fruit a firm feel. I always like to have a firm feel.
No, but yeah. You do.
With the black currant juiciness somewhere in the background. They don't know where it is. It's just somewhere back there. This wine is dark, tannic, dense, and austere. Roger Voss said that. They gave it 87 of their points. That's not very many points.
That's not many points.
They're a bit whorish with their points.
Would be the opposite of being whorish.
No. Well, normally, they wear the whore's uniform of points. They always have like 95 they gave 93 to Earthquake Petite Sirah.
Yes, they did.
Have you had that?
I think we have.
I have.
It's bad.
I'd rather drink from a dirty toilet than drink that wine. So.
Do you do that on most nights? Oh, you drink while you're on a dirty toilet.
That's a thrill. No one can really encapsulate the way that feels, to be perfectly honest. But
so Linzer Tort, traditional Austrian pastry, a form of shortcake topped with fruit preserve and sliced nuts with a lattice design on the top.
What an asshole putting that in.
Named after the city of Linz, Austria. Very short, crumbly pastry made of flour, unsalted butter, egg yolks, lemon zest, cinnamon, and lemon juice, and ground nuts, usually hazelnuts. But even walnuts or almonds are used, covered with a filling of red currant, raspberry, apricot preserves.
What's corpulent mean?
Well, actually, a tort sounds freaking fantastic.
Well, yeah, it is. But
it's a holiday treat in Austria, Hungarian, Swiss, German, and
corpulent.
Tyrolean traditions.
Fat. A short, somewhat corpulent man.
Yeah.
A short, fat guy.
Chubby.
Flesh, short feel? Fat feel. It's so, one of the, oh, okay.
A little corpulent when you're talking about fruit would be similar to a fleshy fruit, I
guess. Yes, fat. Fat fruit.
You fat bastard.
Yes. Well, one can hope.
Well.
So in the glass, this one is dark.
I'm shocked that you had such disparity in scores, even if James Suckling scores tend to be overrated.
That was a Wine Spectator score. Not me.
Hmm.
I was reviewing Chilean wines that day.
And I was... Never mind. No.
James has given it some
I have, high score. But not... No, yes, many. I have always given high scores. Always have lipstick on my teeth after I give
it. Wasn't until 14 where James gave it the same score, 92.
Yes. That's a low score, though, for him. It is. Ooh, on the nose. Melted licorice would be correct. I've never smelled melted licorice until just then. Blackjack licorice.
100%.
With very ripe blueberry. Sweet, sweet blackberry.
It's really interesting that we really can pick out both those fruits.
Mm-hmm.
The blackberry and blueberry are distinct and separate on the nose. What a wonderful nose.
And saddle leather.
Very soft, though. It's a very soft nose. I'm not sure we weren't using these larger bold glasses.
Whether you catch all that, I know.
No way would we catch all that, right?
Folks, take a look at the Riedel Venom Grand Bordeaux glasses. That's what you need for this kind of stuff. Also, a touch of vanilla and mint, which is strange because there's no Cabernet in this, but that's okay. We'll ignore that for the moment.
You know, perhaps the vanilla on the nose
from the oak
is a promising sign of the oak in this.
Mm-hmm. From the reviews, I would assume that this is going to be slightly jazzy.
So you asked me the question, and I'm going to pose the question to you.
Mm.
What is it that you love about Bordeaux Merlots?
Oh, just the Merlots.
Just the Merlot.
Well, I mean...
And I'm not asking about the single varietals. I'm talking about the Merlot dominant blends.
Yeah,
of the ripe.
There's so many that I've had that I've really, really liked. I like the fact that they can balance the power of a wine with minerality and really produce something that has such a wonderful mouthfeel. Because what it can obtain with kind of a minimalistic, austere kind of flavor profile is so interesting. You know, it doesn't have to have big fruit flavors and jammy this, jammy that. It's all very restrained and dialed back, but it's so complex and rich. But one thing I really enjoy when I'm drinking Bordeaux is sitting there and taking in the nose. What was I drinking? Remember that Bordeaux? It's a Côte de Castillon that we did a long time ago on the Penn State game.
What
was that? Terrasson or I forget, Chateau?
Yeah, yeah. Tesseron?
Something like that. I drank that Saturday night. I just intended to have a glass, and I had a glass. Another glass.
They were just rather large glasses.
Another glass. I drank the whole damn bottle, okay? Because it was that nice. Just enjoyed every living second of it. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I might have enjoyed it too much, but that's not the point. That really isn't the point.
Well,
but it was just, you're sitting there and you're sniffing the glass and sniffing what's in there and just enjoying the aromas. And then the wine has a pleasing texture. It has the coolness that you say when it hits your palate.
Mm-hmm.
It has nice little winks of minerality with a little bit of blackberry, with a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Little bits. But the little bits add up into something that's really, really nice.
And I just really think that there's something about the French wines. And for me, Bordeaux, mm-hmm. Rhones are a little different in this way. The way they treat the wine, if you've got a wine that's got the ability to put some age on it, For just some reason, you can pick out the different elements so much easier in a French wine mm-hmm. from Bordeaux. Mm-hmm. And I think easier from the right bank than the left. I don't know. Maybe it's just...
No, I don't know about that.
Personal preference.
It's that we have access to more right bank than left. Although we have access to, well, nothing right now, wine.com, fuckers. But Medoc, you can always get Medoc, right? But on Medoc, you know... Shit like that. But Saint-Julien, stuff like that. Some of those things are a little bit harder to find around here for some whatever reason. But with that. By the way, tonight, one of the things we're eating. If you remember back, we had the Torres chips
yeah.
that were the Hamel chips. Well, these are the black truffle chips. And they're fine.
They're fantastic.
They are good, actually. Yeah.
You can smell the oil
actually,
a mile away.
In a little charcuterie plate, different than crackers. Throw one of those on there, you know, get a bag, get two bags. They're about, what, $4 a bag?
Yeah, they're not cheap.
But you're not sitting there and eating a whole bag because that would be bad for you. So.
That's why we're having two?
That's just math, okay? Let's not focus on that. Becky ate one chip. Yes, the comrade. She came down and went, no, I prefer borscht. I said, no, whatever. She said, don't ask any questions. Okay.
You know, that would be a funny joke.
What?
To find and purchase a bag of borscht flavored chips and bring them to the show and see if Comrade could identify them.
We could just color some vodka and put it in her glass sometime and just see how that works.
You're a bad man.
She'd probably say thank you. See a Rob's secret wine. What is this? Well, it's cheap Russian vodka with ink in it. Delicious. I mean, it's no worse than trying to feed somebody your shit from Italy. That stuff that you have.
Oh. The Trader Joe's.
Yes, what is that shit now? Mike Pence likes it. He liked the Pinot Grigio. What the hell is that called?
It's escaping me now. Protocolo is all I can think of.
No, it's not Protocolo, for Christ's sake. It's you liked the Primitivo. They're really chachi and douchey. Their Chianti Classico was corked. They're the king of Chianti. Remember that?
It was bad.
Yeah, king of Chianti. What? What was that?
This is what Becky would say if you gave her a glass of food colored to look like wine vodka. She would say,
"Спасибо."
Спасибо. Спасибо.
What's that mean?
Thank you.
Oh, okay. There we go. Well, let's get into this. Let's drink this. Oh. Oof. That is a roller coaster, isn't it? It reminds me
It's more towards the Chateau Mamvaya. It's more burly, but it's still got a wonderful mouthfeel.
What is burly?
But this is a burly French Merlot.
You have first of all, the Chateau Mamvaya is a far lower grade than this.
100%.
I mean, it's not even in the same league. But this wine, first of all, lots of elements, the black licorice, the melted black licorice, I see that popping through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like the top of the hill. So it starts off minerality. Top of the hill is the melted black licorice. It comes back down and has some different elements like, not rhubarb, but something along those lines. A cherry, like a baked cherry. It's nice, mind you.
I tell you, I do see what James Suckling said in his review where he compared it to Linzer Tort. There's a bit of pie crust in there.
Well, to point this out, James was reading the Spectator's review. It was not James's review.
It's James's review.
It is not my review.
James's review now. They nailed it. That is, I don't know why you wouldn't just say pie crust instead of Linzer Tort.
Well, there's a slight butteriness to it, isn't there?
100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's almost like that where port has that pie crust thing going.
One thing about this wine that I wanted to drink it. I wanted to drink one that actually drank in the window. Because we always take it to the that next level where we're outside the window and we need some sort of miraculous, Jesus intervention to bring the wine back. We do that a lot. But with this one, it is within the window. And yep. You can see it, just a taste for once. Because, I mean, okay, this does have a collectible designation on there, but on the wine.com. That's where I bought it in 2014. But I know all you out there, you never heard of fucking Chateau or Gaison. You just never have. And I even debated, do we do this on the show? Because I'm sure it's going to be a great wine. It's a good time to drink it. But nobody really knows Chateau Lafleur Gaison. It's not a famous producer.
It's fine. They should know about it.
I think you should, especially if you can get it around $50.
I'll tell you what this is not. Mm-hmm. It's not an 87.
No, God.
This is really good, folks.
Oh, yeah.
It's good length. What it has is that round astringency. It's all around your mouth. So many times we talk about that mouthwashing effect. This is classic Merlot astringency. Very subtle on the oaking. It's present, but it's
your tort though. Your butteriness from the tort is a little bit of the oak.
That's where that comes from. Mm-hmm. That's really shows up early.
It does.
Like right at the front of the mid palate.
And I've got to say, the truffle chips, that truffle oil, That funk does play off this wine really, really, really well.
Yeah.
You know what would be great with this? Be like a truffle risotto.
Oh, my Lord.
With this? That would be lovely.
So I, since we last recorded, I cheated one night and I made a risotto.
Mm-hmm.
I had some rendered beef fat.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of stock, I used, I don't know, like the little deli containers I use, the 8 ounce ones, maybe 4 ounces of rendered beef fat in risotto. It was delicious.
Okay.
It was amazing.
What did you drink with the risotto?
I think that's the night I had the second bottle of the 2017 Edge.
Oh.
It was a good night. Was that that night? I don't remember what I drank with that.
Edge is a good wine.
Edge is fantastic, folks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, by now, that episode will have aired, right?
Oh, yeah. It aired, we'll see.
Two weeks ago. Well, from the time
this
we
is last Sunday, so
Sunday
yeah,
it was.
This will be. Yes, this will be the week at. What is today? I don't even know what the hell today. This is on the 30th. This will be January 30th. This episode.
Okay.
And so that would have been the 23rd. Then this next Wednesday, we're going to be releasing an episode that we did a couple weeks ago. So if that doesn't just, I just want to twist your mind around the Chateau Bourdonnais.
Oh.
So it's going to be just like what we did with the Giggle Nos and the and whatnot. You get a double feature. So if you don't get the Triple B, you get a double feature of us. How's that sound?
Makes
like,
me think of
people
a,
are like, woo!
Makes yeah. me think of a Rocky Horror Picture Show and God rest his soul.
Who?
Meatloaf.
Oh, Meatloaf.
Eddie!
I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. What's that? I won't listen to that song, so. Never really liked his music, I'm just saying.
What?
I didn't.
Paradise by the Dashboard Light?
I'm not a fan of Meatloaf. I'm just not.
What about the Rocky Horror Picture?
I don't like that movie or show. I don't like it. Wrong demographic. I'm the wrong age. Nobody, no dude my age likes that show that I know of. That's me, my own personal belief. I have no evidence to back that up.
Do you ever have any evidence to back anything up?
Not
you say?
A shred. But you know what? I am rarely as confident about that statement as I am right now. I am positive that that is true in my own mind, in my opinion. So I don't know why you'd like that show.
Allegedly.
I mean, it's not any good. It's stupid.
It's fantastic.
No, it's not. It's not. It's,
it's
not
great entertainment.
It's not entertaining. It's not. Under Siege is great entertainment. Well, it was.
Oh, my Lord.
I watched it a couple more times. I'm thinking, that's so good now. But it's still good. It takes a guy and pushes the guy into a bandsaw and like cuts a shit. It's awesome. And it's like, yeah. That's right.
That's the highlight of the movie.
I bet Tommy Lee Jones is looking back. It's like, man, that was just a paycheck, wasn't it?
You know, there's a bandsaw scene in Rocky Horror Picture Show, too, right?
Oh, wow.
That's where.
Why would I want to see that?
Frankfurter kills Meatloaf.
I don't want to see that. It's terrible.
You don't see it. You just kind of see the blood splatter.
It's disgusting. I'm trying to eat a chip here on the show like a professional.
Back to the wine.
Oh, lovely. Marbles.
How many things going on here?
Oh, Lord.
Let's
I need more.
Let's talk about
it. I need to polish. I need to top this glass off. Drank 4 glasses before Scott got here. No, I did not.
Don't please.
Put your glass over here.
Please.
If you stole the Edge, I haven't forgotten that.
So, that cherry thing is also balanced by some dark fruit.
It is.
I'll call it
prune. Stewed prune.
Like, yeah, it's not a currant. It's not plum. It's stewed prune. So the sweetness is subdued, but you get that.
But it's a slightly raisined sweetness. But it's the same time, it's not raisiny because it doesn't have any sort of concentration of sweetness.
Is it Stone Prude's perfect?
Mm-hmm. Which is a positive thing in this scenario. It is not a positive thing in real life if you're eating stewed prunes. That means your life has taken terrible turns.
They're actually...
They're not.
Quite healthy.
Well, that's fine. Delicious. A lot of things... They're not delicious.
They are delicious.
They're not delicious.
Have you ever had stewed prunes?
Yeah. They're horrible.
Where did you have stewed prunes?
My grandmother always drank prune juice and had stewed prunes. And she tried to make me eat that stuff.
Hmm.
And I'd rather eat a sock.
We had to serve it once when I was a cook.
Mm.
We were doing a turkey dinner, and for whatever reason, stewed prunes was on the menu of what we pulled for rations.
Was this in a prison or something?
This was during a 2-week summer camp. We were in the field and did roast turkeys. And the stewed prunes, we played around with it, and we put garlic in it. And onions, it was so good. It was like, we did it like savory style.
So, we did it savory style.
It was... Not many people. Do you want some stewed prunes?
No.
People did. Were like, came back for seconds of it.
No, they didn't. It's like that.
Yeah, they did.
It's that canned eggplant you tried to feed to Steve and I.
That shit is good.
That stuff looks like a. I'm not going to say it, but
that's so good.
No, it's not. No,
there's a
bunch of Bible beaters that have those pictures of things outside of abortion
clinics.
That's
not what it looks like.
It does look like that, and it's pretty horrible. Bible beaters. No one uses that term anymore. They should.
Use a term to beat you with.
Griffone. Yes, Griffone. He and his Griffone.
Pinot Grigio. Secret lover.
Who's that?
The Griffone. It's Griffone.
Oh, it's true. Shh. Griffone doesn't tell anybody.
Shh.
Yeah. Oh. But I'm in Indiana sleeping on someone's couch. Oh,
well,
it's terrible.
It's not really a couch. It's more of a... Client. Well, it's a futon.
Hmm. Wonder if he had a resort. No, I can't say that.
Back to the wine. Do you pick any of the berry up immediately that kind of gives you a little kiss and a wink? Just right at the beginning of the front palate. Before you get to the cherry. Just a nod and a wink.
A lovely blackberry.
Mm-hmm. Just a nod and a wink. Mm-hmm. Doesn't show the blueberry, though.
No, it does not. Nope.
So you've got fruit. And we often describe that French wines don't show the fruit. Well,
this one does.
This one does. So we've got just a kiss and a wink of blackberry,
mm-hmm.
this cherry-like thing.
Yeah.
And then the stewed prune.
Yeah.
And that sounds like a hell of a combination, right, folks? But it really works in this.
It does work in this. It does. Yeah, I think this is one that Becky might even drink.
And then you go straight to that mid palate where I think the predominant thing is that rush of that pie crust, or as James read in the Spectator's review, Linzer Tort.
If you just hold that on your tongue, you get the most beautiful sensation of lovely, intense blackberry. Mm. Oh, lovely. And a little bit of black licorice, but the black licorice is so subtle. It's just a beautiful, beautiful expression of blackberry that just sits there on your tongue, just drawing air. But you have to continue to draw the air. But when you do that, man, it is such a wonderful drink. One of the better expressions I have seen of blackberry up front, but not really being a wine that is dominated by black fruits.
Right. Or, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of goes between black and savory, and it's interesting in that way.
There's just a kiss of the minerality. You know, if there was one thing I would want more of from this, it would be the minerality.
Give it 3 or 4 more years, and you're going to see it.
Maybe, right? Mm-hmm. But then I wonder if you have the same expression of the fruit.
Yeah.
But it's also, there's a nice little kiss of earthiness that, not really leather. How would you describe the earthiness? Almost like.
The earthiness does not come across as particularly strong to me.
It's not, but no. What subtly it's.
If anything, there's a bit of leather there, but it's not showing as much as it will. I mean, obviously, it's going to manifest itself in another a few more years.
My descriptor, it's almost like, it's gonna sound terrible, but like dirt, like it's like this earthy.
I don't know.
Not like road dust. But like
cordite, perhaps. You like that term?
Not quite towards gunpowder-ish that, but...
Does it taste like peyote? Because you're on that, apparently.
Currently. Maybe it's towards mushroom. Maybe that's more
okay,
it.
Okay, that's better.
But I don't... That's not it.
Well...
It's not really herbal.
I know exactly where you're
like,
I know exactly where you're pointed. It's a little bit of a, if anything, an evergreen, but without the pininess.
Maybe it's wood. It's a wood.
Slightly woodsy. Slightly woodsiness to it. Yes.
But not in a way where you're thinking, oh, this is the oak. It's more like the minerality is expressing that way.
Slightly Sherwood Forest. That is the term we use. It is a wine descriptor. Look it up.
That's a term you use. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means. No. Robin Hood and Little John running through the forest, laughing back and forth what the other one had to say.
Oodalotti, golly, what a day.
That is one of my favorite movie songs. I'm just a sucker for that. Reminds me of when my children were little and the world was young.
That's a good movie, though. Kids love it.
And it's a great soundtrack.
It is. It's a great movie. That's the Disney Robin Hood.
If you,
not to be confused with Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves with Kevin Costner, which is not particularly good.
Or what was the bad one where it was like
that?
Robin Hood and
what?
By the way, Sean Connery and who played?
Sean Connery was in that one. Strangely enough, right now I am using the same British accent that Kevin Costner used in Prince of Thieves. Do you know that?
That same British accent he uses in Yellowstone.
That's true. Or The Postman.
Or Waterworld.
Or Wyatt Earp. He made that, yes. That's a very long movie.
Very bad movie.
It's better than Tombstone, but that neither one of them were really that good. Wyatt Earp is a better movie. It's just a really big fucking slog. A big fucking slog. Because Tombstone, people romanticize because Val Kilmer was great. The rest of them sucked ass. Sam Elliott's always Sam Elliott, but it's a shitty movie. I mean, it's a shitty movie.
Some people love it.
It's not good, except for Val Kilmer, who's fantastic. But everything else about Wyatt Earp, except for the fact that it's, you know, a slog. It's like,
that's a slog. Have you seen Waterworld?
No, man. I watched Wyatt Earp. I didn't have to watch it. I watched The Postman, man. That's a slog, too. There's a lot of Kevin Costner slogs out there. Tin Cup's a good Kevin Costner movie, but that's breezy and light.
That's because of Rene Russo. And Cheech.
Yeah. Cheech. Don Johnson's fun in it.
Okay.
You know, it's a fun movie. But those are El Pastito. You are the Kevin Costner of wine reviewers, Scott. Did you know that?
Well, with my British accent.
That's exactly right.
The mouthfeel of this.
Mm.
It is very expressive.
The mouthfeel really is what makes most Bordeaux, quite frankly, for me. And this wine is no different because it's fuller medium bodied, but it's still medium bodied. But it has a life to it. There is, like what Becky refers to, the twirly mouthfeel. I don't know what the fuck she means by that, but there is something there. This wine has a Bordeaux mouthfeel. Not all things have it. Mouthfeel is important in a wine. Naturally, you don't want it to taste like a butthole, but have good mouthfeel. But those two things, mouthfeel is very, very important. It's the experience of drinking the wine. How does it feel in your mouth? How does it go across the palate? You know, all those things are very, very important, how are the flavors aligned?
Yeah, it's the life of the body of the wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, what?
The life of the body?
The life.
That's very biblical.
The body of the wine. So for me, the body of this wine is lively.
It has life to it. It comes across. It has form. It is not just some sort of drink. It has form. It has structure in the mouthfeel. It has a viscosity while not being weighty. That's the thing. It can have body, but not be heavy.
And it kind of shifts.
Mm-hmm.
It you don't feel that mouthfeel until you're well into the mid palate.
True.
And then there's a subtle crescendo, and then there's a length and a the mouthfeel sits with you even through the astringent mouthwash. Mm-hmm. Even as the dryness takes hold, even as the finish begins to dissipate, there's that thing that was related to the pie crust, that buttery pie crust. It's not really a dairy mouthfeel, but it's, I'm going to just call it lively. There's a viscosity, but it's just sure to be in an oily mouthfeel.
By the way, there's tobacco. I don't know why I didn't notice that earlier.
Maybe that's there's where it was at. It's just a big different old form of tobacco.
Gob of tobacco right mid-palate that kind of lingers, flows out. Honestly, I hadn't experienced it that much until that drink. Maybe it's because the wine's opening up even more in the glass. Tobacco is always one of my... I'm a sucker. Well, you are too.
Yep.
Heck, even Becky loves tobacco. But she likes to do Skoal and, you know, shit like that. She likes to dip. But that's not, you know, that's Becky.
What?
Well, she likes tobacco.
It's just
Chaw.
It's just part of the persona.
She's from Kentucky.
She's just trying to fit in. It's just something her handlers have taught her to do.
That's right.
It's not real. She really doesn't like
you
it
You do
at
not
all.
Need to stick out. You are in America. They all do chaw.
They what? They don't? No, they...
Yes. This is an authentic American thing. You must do chaw or snuff.
Now, I don't know if that's...
Don't ask questions.
But women...
In America, everyone does snuff.
You're so stupid. Yeah.
Excellent. You are following your training perfectly. In Russia, if they do snuff, it's on video.
Okay.
Anyway. So, folks, we're going to take a break.
What?
And be right back here on the Wine Vault. On tonight's potpourri, we have had a question asked of us, and I promised this listener that we would answer this question. Well, try to, anyway. And the question was, how do we pull out the different aromas, the different flavors in the wine? They report, when they drink, they enjoy wines, mind you, but they don't see the nuance. They don't, you know, maybe they get one thing, but they don't get A, B, C, D, F, G, like, you know, when we're pulling out Sherwood Forest, or well, that's a made-up term, but or you know, tobacco. How do we find these things? I think the better question is, how does one train their palate to be able to see it? Now, for me, I'll drink wine, and I'll analyze it while I'm drinking it, for instance. And I visualize what I'm drinking. I don't know why that is, but I sit there, and I can I analyze, and I see the different things. Not... Well, I'm not hallucinating, but you know what I mean, Scott.
Well, no more than normal.
That's true. But I recognize the different flavors as they go by, and I make note of them. But how do you know what those things taste like is, I guess, the question.
Yeah. For me, it was definitely a learning process. You know, I hadn't...
Mm-hmm.
No formal training, no proper experience. We were just, you know... getting into more and more higher quality red wines, And just bouncing ideas off of each other and talking through it really helps me. And it helped me from the beginning because, again, I had never drank wine with the thought of analyzing it before.
No, never. Never have you done that. No.
I hadn't. I really hadn't. So, you know, I learned by doing it. And I think, I don't know how else to suggest that for me is going from zero experience in doing it to just try it. One thing we've suggested and talked about openly, if you can get your hands on a bottle that we're going to review, drink it and listen to the podcast.
Well, that's the other beauty part,
Gacondas from Costco would be a great example of one to do that way.
Well, one thing I recommended to them was the Edge. They can get that.
You can get
but
that.
There are so many things. I mean, for instance, you can go back and listen to the episodes we've done and relive those episodes too. I mean, go find the wine that we have and then go back and, I mean, listen to the episode again. And but, I mean, once again, though, it takes, I mean, for sommeliers that are passing the exam, it is a form of study. And there are different wheels and different kits you can buy to train yourself as to the different aromas. We're talking things that are very expensive and it's very, very boring. But do you know what thyme smells like? Do you know what, you know, rosemary smells like? Do you know these things independently? That can help you. Do you pick out flavors and foods? What do you normally eat? Do you challenge your palate when you eat? There's all sorts of ways to expand one's palate aside from just drinking. Now, we normally just rely on the drinking part, but still.
There's certain things, too, that everybody's experienced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you're a completely urban person. You've never been out in the country in your entire freaking life, which is fine. And, you know, for somebody living in Brooklyn, has been in Brooklyn their whole life, God bless you. It's a fantastic place to be. For all everybody else, you've had that taste of country road, road dust in your mouth. And we talk about that when we describe gravel or gravel dust or road dust. And there's sometimes you get that other minerality in a wine, whereas other things are more obscure. And it's,
but yeah, but what is it? The Linzer Tort, for Christ's sake?
Exactly.
They're a dipshit. They are in every review. Never go by that. Occasionally, you're reading things where people are trying to look smart. I don't know why, because it doesn't make you look smart. It makes you look like a fucking douchebag. I mean, Linzer Tort, really? No. I mean, no. But
I'm glad they put it in the review because it makes me want to try a Linzer Tort.
Well, go ahead. But at the same time, there are, you know, look, understand the varietal you're drinking starting off. There are certain things you look for in each varietal, okay? And if you know that, that if you have that primer, it's a lot easier. So you're going into Cabernet. What are you looking for? Dark fruits. You're looking for tannin. Maybe mint. You know, where's it from? Understanding where is it from as well. Is it from California? Well, then what are you more expecting? I'm expecting a different oak presence. I'm expecting the fruit to come across differently. Do you know the difference between Sonoma and Napa? Do you know the difference between Sonoma, Napa, and Paso? Do you know never to drink anything from Lodi? I don't know. I mean, so
cabbage juice,
not to say that you have a prejudice in your mind when you know what you're drinking, but it's easier to recognize different flavors if you're familiar with the area from which you're drinking. So if I know I'm drinking a Zin from Contra Costa, I'm not going to be surprised when I drink some things that taste odd because that's the way they taste there. If I taste something that tastes like a rubber band, I know, oh, I'm in Contra Costa. Why? Don't know. But that's the way it is there.
Mm.
I mean, if you're drinking, you know, something from Paso, a cab from Paso, you know, it's going to be a bad Friday night. But still.
come on.
Well,
easy.
We, you know, except for Foxglove. No, you know that you're not going to have something that's big and tannic. It's going to be something that's very soft. And you better have some food, strong food.
And
maybe some Chinese food. Kung Pao chicken. Something like that.
I'm going to get back to the original question and in my experience with tasting wines. One of the things I think that really helped me down the path was when we started doing more port.
Port, huh? Because that has a certain set of flavors. I mean,
but it's when you've at times it's just so easy to pick them out of port.
True. Well, they're the same ones.
But not always. Well, not always.
Well, to a certain extent.
But, and that's helped me with, let's just call them regular wines.
Well, port, they're not exactly subtle.
But you can have eight things going on and you can pick them out so easily if you take your time.
It does help to start with bold, big wines because those wines have massive expressions of different flavors. If you say, no, I think I want to start off with this Burgundian, this Pinot from Burgundy, which is obvious, but I guess it could be Gamay or Chardonnay, you might be setting yourself up for disappointment. But if you start off in Cali, although that's the problem. You have to build up your knowledge. And the way to do that is to drink.
Drink different things.
You have to mix it up.
And if you can try to think of a good example, I'm going to pull out Rob because right now I don't have one. But sometimes the way to develop your palate is to drink less complex things, perhaps. So instead of having to pick out eight different things and differentiate them, some wines are more straightforward and they have three things going on even two things going on and could be easier to identify.
Well, also knowing wines that are good representations of the varietal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. You know, you go to Protocolo because you need something that is a good representation of Tempranillo. It's not anything that's ritzy, but it's just a nice pure Tempranillo, except for what, the 17 vintage, which is terrible, but that's okay.
But it's also a really easy drinker.
It is. But Tempranillo is. And so you drink that and you get a good impression of, okay, this is Tempranillo at its simplest, but purest, or a pure version of it. But it's not wildly complex. But then you move on, but you have that building block.
Yep.
But I think also, I mean, you can go so many different, I don't know. To have a good working knowledge of every wine, man, it's going to take you a long time.
And I'll tell you.
Scott, there.
For sure. But so here's just back to our question and we'll end the potpourri.
Sure.
For me, a good one to develop your palate and to analyze what you're looking at, get three different Sauvignon Blancs and get some decent ones. You can have some nice different expressions of tropical fruit and some different mouthfeels. And even just inside of New Zealand, you can get some leaner ones. You can have some that are more luscious and almost have a buttery mouthfeel, viscous. But just picking out the different tropical fruits, that's not a bad little exercise to get started on. Trying to break down and analyze wines. And by doing that, the three Sauvignon Blancs, one, you can read and know what to expect. Two, by picking three different bottles, you can see what the differences are a little bit. And
why would you want to drink that much Sauvignon Blanc?
Easy.
Chardonnay is better than Sauvignon Blanc.
Chardonnay? You hate Chardonnay.
I don't anymore. I like Chardonnay.
Oh, my God.
I like Chardonnay.
First he goes over to Rosé. Now he's drinking Chardonnay.
Anything with an A at the end.
But you can. I think that's a good exercise.
And it's not actually, but that's okay.
I think that's a good exercise, folks. Also,
sit-ups are a good exercise.
Read, and I think a great
reading helps. Yes.
A great source for general information on varietals and what to expect, or what's typical, or you could find in a varietal is Wine Folly. She does a great job with that. In my opinion. And listen to our show.
That's always true, too. Especially if you want to know about, you know. Yes. If you want to know all about Scott's, his kinks. I mean, he, like, draws all sorts of weird pictures when we're on the show. He says Rob the Wine Guy does it, but it's not him. Trust me.
Yeah.
Rob the Wine Guy is a saint. He would never do anything like that. So.
Yeah, let's ask his wife.
She's a communist spy. Why would you ask her?
They're capitalists now.
No, they're not. Killing people left and right. World domination. That's what she is. Terrible. I mean, it's horrible. I try to speak, and she talks over me. It's insulting.
She really doesn't like you very much, Wilford. Why is that?
Because I'm a genius. Because I wear sweatpants. Because I don't always wear the sweatpants. I don't know. I mean, I'm a lovable fellow. Very lovable.
That's not what the courts say.
No, but I said that in prison. I was very lovable there.
I'm sure.
It was nice.
Lovable and loved.
They called it prison. I called it summer camp.
Jesus.
Why? I mean, it was more than one summer, but that's not the point. Well, there was winter.
It was more than one camp.
But that just meant you had to be closer to one another. It was just natural. It was all right.
Natural.
Well, yeah. Oh, it depends on where you're from. I mean, in early Roman and Greek times, it was very natural, I'm just saying. It still is natural. There's nothing wrong with it. What are you trying to say, Scott?
Not trying to say anything, Wilford.
Good. I want to have you running your damn mouth again. Bastard. Anyway, we're going to take a break and be right back here on the Wine Vault.
And we're back, folks. So the 2010 Les Fleurs Gaison from Pomerol in France, Bordeaux specifically. Right bank, if you were. Le Bornay, if you wanted to say that. You'd be Poncy to do that, but it's okay. We're going to go over to Scott, and we're going to get a numerical score for this wine.
Just a lovely, lovely drink. I think I'm at 91. Range would be 90 to 92, and I'm going to go straight with a 91. I'm really, if I had to go digitally, I'd go like 91.4. But it's towards a 92, but it's just not quite there. I'm not really certain why, but I love this wine. I'm going to look for it and buy some to hold back. It plainly has great ageability.
Seems like a pretty good value.
For an upper... Okay, it's not the world's greatest Bordeaux. It's not Petrus.
No.
It's not that price either. But it's also, it's not an... It's the quality of what you'd expect in a mid-range $30 to $40 bottle.
Well, it's I think it's more like $50 to $60 right now.
Is
but
it now?
Yeah, I think. But, I mean, that's still fair for good Bordeaux, which this is. And Pomerol is a little more fun to buy. I mean, you can buy Saint-Emilion all day long. That's great. There's some great wines there. But buying Pomerol is fun. And I have three or four other Pomerols.
In general, it's a little more expensive?
Depends. It's just a little bit more, a little bit harder to find in this area for whatever reason. I also provided this wine 91 of my points, and I would agree. A 90 to 92 is that. I think, Scott, the reason why it's not a little bit more is because we've had...
58, 59.
Yeah.
Bucks.
We've had wines that just wow us, and this is extremely good. Really well made. Very nice. It isn't necessarily dazzling. It isn't something that it's not something that sets the world on fire and it's the grandest thing you've ever drank. That is really the standard for me. But it is really a lovely, lovely, lovely wine, and it's not showing much age at all.
It's really got time. It has more time,
but it doesn't taste too young either. I'm happy that we drank it today.
So would you? So you had this 7 years? You set it back. Mm-hmm. It's like, a beautiful time to drink.
I think
this wine.
I bought it for 40 7 of my dollars.
Yeah, and great investment. We try not to score it this way, mm-hmm. but you know, if you've got two wines that are the same numeric score, and for me, if there's one that you can put back and hold back, and then you have it for 7 years, and you've had that anticipation of what is this sure. going to be like, mm-hmm. that adds to the wine, even if it's the same score as something as you opened and drank as soon as you bought it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Would I rather drink this or a bottle of Camus? I'd rather drink this.
Yeah, I would rather drink this too.
Right?
Yeah.
But there's some people that would score Camus as a 91. That's about where we were at, wasn't it?
Well, we never gave the Camus an official score, but even if I scored both of those wines the same, I'm going to acknowledge what Camus is, but I'm still drinking this. I'm drinking this every day of the week, twice on Sunday over at Camus.
There's a little more investment in this because you took the time to age it.
And it's not owned by a Wagner.
Easy.
I've aged Camus before. I had the 11. And it was great. It was better than the 16. It was an amazing Camus. Still drinking this.
That was the 40th anniversary.
Mm-hmm. It was the 40th anniversary. And it was Becky really really likes Camus. I don't know why, but she really likes Camus.
It's fantastic. It really is. Is
it's fine. It's good. But it's a good wine, but it's not. It tastes like 30,000 cases.
I know somebody that's what they drink is Camus.
Well, that's a whoop-doo.
I know, but there's something to that. If your person can afford a $100 bottle of wine every night, God bless you. But
man,
you aren't getting it wrong.
Well, there's other stuff I'd rather have.
I want a little more variety. But this person.
I mean, why wouldn't you spend half that?
Most people want the same thing every day. That's why Bud Light's so popular.
Okay, it's the Bud Light of expensive Napa Cabernet, yes.
It's the Miami of expensive Cabernets. It's better than that.
It's not a $100 bottle of wine. It's a $60 bottle of wine.
Okay.
And you're splitting hairs, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
$50 to $60 bottle of wine. It's very good, but I mean, I'd rather have, people knock Silver Oak. Have you ever had Silver Oak?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Which one? The Napa or the Alexander Valley? Was it a bluish silver label or a black and red label?
Silver.
You had the Alexander Valley.
Yeah.
But it's not as good as, it's fine. It's not, we have better ones.
I think there's things that we both would say we would spend our money here. And I'm looking up on the wall, I'm seeing the Heights.
Oh, Heights is all
for the money.
But also, Scott, I don't mind spending money with Heights because I've been there. I know I've met them. They're nice people. I mean, they're owned, I think, by a Japanese corporation, but they still control it. It's a family company.
Yeah.
It's not a conglomerate.
And
I like that. I've met Catherine Hall before. I mean, I don't know her, for Christ's sake, but I met her. And I like buying her wines.
Yep. Even though I buy more than you do.
No, you do. But by the way, did you see they have a whole mess of shit now?
They just, a bunch come in. That Hall Coor, I think it's called?
Yeah, but.
C-O-E-U-R.
But also, the Ellie's Vineyard is in Napa, and it's $37.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's on there. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I'm buying that Italian Bordeaux blend, 95 from the Spectator. I don't know why. Because we had whatever it was at Scally's. We had Frank's. Bordeaux, the super Bordeaux, Italian Bordeaux that was just mesmerizing. And I just want to recreate that in some fashion at some point in my life.
It was so good.
Yeah. This is a lot cheaper than that, but still, whatever. And I could buy 3 of these for that, but that's okay.
Which dine was that one?
What?
Which one is that one?
Which one?
The 95?
The one I just bought.
Mm.
I showed you that.
Oh, yeah. I got one.
I don't know the names of these things.
You usually do it. Toscalni?
I don't know.
Toscalni?
I don't know what it's called. I just know the taste it makes when I drink it. So.
So you've already been into that.
No, I have not. But I thought about it. I thought about ordering another bottle and drinking it tonight.
Just to drink one tonight.
But we didn't do that.
Well.
I'm a bad person.
What a great bottle of wine, though.
This is a great bottle of wine. Hall of Fame, naturally.
Naturally.
It goes on the shelf. I already moved stuff around.
I don't know that it goes on the shelf.
It goes on the shelf because it's Bordeaux and it looks nice up there. That's why.
Okay.
I mean, shit.
Mm.
Just does.
I don't think it goes on the shelf.
I didn't ask you.
I know, but I mean, I see an open space.
That's right.
But I think you could, I mean, I'm looking at that bottle of Mary Edwards.
That I'm nice not. Yeah, I mean, I like Mary Edwards a lot, but, you know, I'm not buying more of it anytime soon, even though Becky would be upset by that.
You shouldn't say that.
I'll buy Beaufray. If she hasn't had Beaufray, I bought Beaufray. I'll buy a Beaufray before I buy Mary Edwards.
She's probably, if you downplay Mary Edwards, she's probably not going to like the Beaufray just because you talk bad about Mary Edwards.
What if I put a Mary Edwards label on there?
And she would stab you for tricking her.
What if I put this label on there?
That's Josh, a great label.
The Mississippi Man Backwoods Blend. By the way, Josh, I'm still upset with you because I don't understand what was wrong with Restraining Order Red or Mud Butt Red Blend. I don't know what was wrong with that. Two perfectly acceptable labels did not meet your terms of service.
So I was watching Dexter. You know, I might be giving away
something. Was that like your home movies?
No, I never butchered anybody.
Okay, that's good.
But in the next to last episode, he brings a bottle of wine to his girlfriend's house, and they're drinking it, and his house had just burned down. He's like, this is smoky tasting. Josh.
Was it?
And he says, this is a little more expensive than what I usually get.
So only fake serial killers drink Josh. That explains a lot.
Well,
so folks, 291 is a Hall of Fame for
smoky.
Yes, for the Lafleur Gaison from Gazan. Pomerol. No, Gaison.
Okay.
That was Apple. That was the iTunes, or that was the Apple Translate. The Lafleur Gaison from Pomerol in Bordeaux. So. For Rob the Wine Guy and Scott Vin Lessons, taxi driver, we're going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on The Wine Vault. Good night.